You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Any views or opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKQ. Yet, by allowing any and all views to be broadcast, KSKQ hopes to improve the quality of life for our entire community in Southern Oregon. It's KSKQ's mission to produce community radio that empowers the residents of the Rogue Valley, builds sustainable and resilient communities through the exchange of ideas, and celebrates cultural diversity. And now, let's make it green. Welcome to Tasty Topics and Tantalizing Tunes, where the focus is on health and well-being and other fun stuff. I'm Aletha Nowitzki, and we just heard this show's theme song, Make It Green, composed and performed by me, with the help of some of my many talented friends. Dear listeners, we are very fortunate to be such a multifaceted crew here on this planet. Our amazing brains and bodies give us the ability to have and share a myriad of talents. And my guest today is ready to tell us about some of the many intriguing offerings that he likes to throw into the mix. Filmmaker, writer, speaker, poet, alchemist, website wizard, corporate communicator, cartographer, and founder of Vortex Maps, among many other things, Dan Shaw believes that there is an infinite amount of energy available everywhere, all the time, for our physical healing, psychic opening, and harmonizing of the planet. So while I got this Renaissance man set up with a mic, let's listen to some mind-expanding music to put us in a fitting frame of openness for the information to come. This song is by local duo Fractal Love Jam, also known as Martin Ball and Jesselyn Jones. Martin has his own show here at KSKQ on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. called Locals Only, which highlights local musicians, often with the artists live in the studio. This song from Martin and Jesselyn's CD, Where You Begin, is called Energy Garden. Energy Garden by Fractal Love Jam. And now, dear listeners, I am delighted to introduce a modern Renaissance man and my friend, Dan Shaw. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for coming in today.
I'm so glad to be here, Letha. Thanks so much.
Yay. I was trying to remember when I met you, when I first met you, and I think it was possibly when you actually did a video of me singing Star Spangled Spirit, which is my take on a Star Spangled Banner.
Love Star Spangled Spirit. Are we going to be able to play that today,
do you think? We could. We could, yeah.
That'd be brilliant. But we met through your daughter, through Vanessa.
Through Vanessa, that's right. Yeah, she's a good friend of yours.
And incredibly talented sing dancer, singdancing.com.
Yes. Oh, thank you. You remind me of that. That's so good. She's a good sing dancer. She sort of developed that whole thing herself. But anyway, enough about us. Dan, where do you actually come from originally, and what brought you to the Rogue Valley?
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, North Bay and Marin County, and came up to the Rogue Valley about 25 years ago to live in the woods. Didn't exactly go according to plan, but at that time, I got separated from my wife at the time, and within minutes, I was introduced to this field of vortex research. It just seemed as though one chapter was closing and another one opened up, and the inspiration of the study of earth energies and vortexes has sustained me for about 25 years now.
Wow. What exactly is a vortex, anyway? I mean, I have sort of a thing in my head, an image, but...
Some people are familiar with the term ley lines. Ley lines are lines of earth energy which are rifle straight, connecting intervisible points, first popularized years ago by a fellow named Alfred Watkins. Sacred sites often form perfectly straight lines on the landscape. You could think of vortexes as being like those places where those ley lines cross. There's many different kinds of earth energy lines. Some are straight, some are sinuous. I like to use the analogy of the subtle energy of the human body has acupuncture meridians and acupuncture points, and the vortexes might be like the acupuncture points on the energy body of the earth.
Oh, interesting, interesting. And you have made a whole business, pretty much, out of making vortex maps. Tell us about that.
Well, I have published a couple maps. Okay. One of them is pretty well known. I didn't invent it, but I reprinted it. It's called the Earth Star Globe. It's been featured in a number of books, and it's a world map, which is a geometric thing. It's composed of 30... diamonds, and so that it folds up into a globe and it shows the natural geometry of the Earth. It purports to show the natural geometry of the Earth. It's based on a combination of the icosahedron and the dodecahedron and was developed by William Becker and Beth Hagens about 1984. So I published that geometric map of the Earth, and I've also published a map which I call Earth Star North America. It shows that the Grand Tetons is the center of a nearly perfect circle of 19 points. Each of those 19 points around Western North America is the most significant body of water or mountain in its region. So that includes Shasta, Sedona, Yosemite Valley and Mono Lake. Crater Lake is a halfway point on that map. Lake Louise and such. So knowing the center and one point around the edge, you can pretty much draw the circle yourself and identify these 19 points around the Grand Tetons that form a nearly perfect circle. So it does seem that everything in creation is geometric, and some visionaries are able to recognize these massive landscape geometries, and those points seem to vortexes seem to have unusual features and seem to influence the human body in interesting ways. I like to say that there's no separation between the human energy field and the planetary energy field, so that as we expose ourselves to variations in the electromagnetic field of the Earth, that may help us to open up our psychic abilities or to heal our physical bodies or both.
Nice. Can you tell us any stories particularly that you have experienced or that you know of others specifically using vortexes?
I hear endless stories from people. People confide in me their stories, and they run the complete range. People have UFO sightings on places that they attribute to being vortex points. People have out-of-body experiences, lost time experiences. People hear voices, or they see orbs, or just the complete gamut of paranormal experiences. I've compiled a little book of letters that I've received from people called Letters from the Vortex. And, of course, I also have numerous unusual experiences from my visits to vortexes. I just returned from the Montana Vortex, which is a tourist attraction just south of Glacier Park. It's very much like the Oregon Vortex near us, and there's a total of 8 vortexes in the U.S. which are genuine and open as tourist attractions. And people visiting these vortexes, Oregon Vortex, Montana Vortex, Santa Cruz Mystery Spot, for example, many people are sensitive to these energies, and they may feel relief from physical symptoms, such as pain, while they're there, or they may have kind of a sense of spinning, motion. Everybody senses it in different ways. Some people, it's too intense, and they don't stay for very long in that vortex spot. Some people feel it in their head, some in their stomach. I've had somebody throw up on my tour a couple months ago tour of the Montana Vortex, and I was, of course, concerned. I didn't know if it was the energy of the vortex that this boy was responding to. His grandfather took him out, and after my tour, the grandfather came back in and told me, well, it turns out his grandmother responded the same way to visiting the Montana Vortex.
Oh, my gosh.
So sometimes sensitivity does seem to run in the family. I have a family there, and either none of them feel it or all of them feel the energy.
Oh, indeed. How interesting.
I often feel the energy of the vortex as a kind of a tingling in my third eye or in my face. So it seems to be a kind of an activating energy. You might feel a similar thing during an acupuncture treatment, really, where your energy channels are being opened up, cleared, balanced.
So it has to do with whatever it is, opening energy channels, you think?
Well, we're electromagnetic beings. Mm-hmm. We exist in a churning ocean of electricity and magnetism, and anything that can heal can kill as well. So the effects of the vortex might be beneficial, or they might not be beneficial for the same person at different times or different people at the same time. It remains very much a mystery. I like to think that I'm beginning to figure out how vortexes work. I got a degree at Southern Oregon University. I like to say one of the most prestigious universities in Southern Oregon.
Excellent.
In geography, so that I could better understand and explain what's going on with these geophysical energies and how they influence our living cells and living cells of plants and animals.
Nice. So you got interested in the geography and the vortexes first and started experiencing things, and then you decided to take the geography.
That's right.
Bachelor's.
I have for a long time been studying unusual healing tools and techniques. Mm-hmm. When my wife became pregnant with my son, we went searching for a place that would be supportive of a natural childbirth. And we ended up in Austin, Texas, with a midwife there who specialized in water birth. It turns out my son was born in water in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And my midwife, whose name's Rima Starr, she's the author of a book called Healing Power of Birth. She had been studying with a group of other people doing unusual healing tools and techniques, and with a woman who was channeling, a being who called himself Father Andre, who is an ascended master. So mm-hmm. I studied with a being called himself Father Andre. I was studying ascension techniques, extraordinary healing tools and techniques, and alchemy. And I consider the work that I do with the earth energies, the geomancy, as a subset of alchemy.
What exactly, how do you describe alchemy? How do you define that?
For me, alchemy is only one tiny bit about the quest to turn lead into gold. It's about understanding how nature's put together. When you understand how nature and natural materials work, you're better able to work with nature and those natural materials. So it is really a science of understanding how matter works, and with a large component of geometry, sacred geometry, and numerology, study of numbers and shapes.
Interesting. What is the difference between geometry and sacred geometry?
I think it's just an awareness, really, that everything in creation has a geometry to it, and how you approach the study of geometry. You can approach it, I think, in a mundane way, or you can approach it from an understanding of that you're actually learning how kind of the spiritual aspect of how creation is put together, that geometry infuses everything in creation, including consciousness. We're geometric beings ourselves. And so that, and studies have come out recently which mm-hmm. have confirmed something I've felt and known for a long time, which is that being in nature, we're exposing ourselves to all kinds of natural geometries, and I've always held that those natural geometries are good for harmonizing the brain. Mm-hmm. And it does seem that recently some studies have come out showing that, in fact, spending time in nature does enhance the way your brain works.
Awesome. That is a sure proof that following your intuition on that has definitely, and then you found out there's scientific studies on it proving the same thing. It's just
nice to have both hemispheres connected and have our intuition confirmed by modern science.
It is. And it's good to trust yourself. So we're going to have a little song break. How'd you
Perfect.
Like that segue?
Perfect segue.
Trust Yourself by Aletha Nowitzki. It's from my CD Annunciation. So let's have a listen to that.
By my request.
By Dan's request, yes. Thank you, Dan Shaw.
Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. 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 You're going in the right direction. Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction.
Oh.
Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. 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 You're going in the right direction. Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. Trust yourself, you're going in the right direction. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Oh, All right, there it is. Trust Yourself by me, Aletha Nowitzki, at Dan Shaw's request. Got Dan Shaw here, founder of Vortex Maps and truly a modern Renaissance man. Has so many irons in the fire, interests, and specialties. So, and you told me that your brother also has a song that is kind of a yin-yang to this Trust Yourself. Tell us a little bit about your brother and about this song, if you would.
Well, I have an older brother whose name is Larry Shaw. Larry Shaw has a PhD in theoretical physics from Cornell University, and he's a toy inventor and musician as well as a patent agent. So if you have any high-end patents that you need written by a physicist, you might be interested in contacting Larry Shaw. His music runs the full range. He sometimes calls it punk folk banjo. So you can find his music at punkfolkbanjo.com.
Nice.
And we've got a song queued up, which I like because I can sing along. His vocal range is pretty much the same as my vocal range. I won't sing along this time, I promise. But
well,
called Turn This Train Around.
Turn This Train Around. Let's do that one. How fun.
It makes a good compliment to trust yourself you're headed in the right direction. If you're not headed in the right direction, then you might want to turn this train around.
That's right. Good thinking. Here we go. Train around. That was beautiful, Dan. Thanks for sharing your brother's song.
It's my pleasure.
I love that. I love hearing music from local people and their friends. And we are really all one big world, I suppose.
One small world.
One small world, yes, indeed. So you are a writer yourself.
True.
Yeah. What kind of stuff do you write?
I mostly read and write nonfiction. I'm interested in anything I don't completely understand. I tend to focus on the vortex maps, which I'm interested in all kinds of visionary maps, but I like to focus in on those maps that have a geometric component. Mm-hmm. And I've written a little bit of fiction. I write some poetry and such, which I'd be delighted to share a poem or two with you.
I sure wish you would. We actually did pre-talk about this, dear listener. So, so wanted to give Dan a heads up to please bring some poetry. So, yeah, let's have it.
Okay, well, thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. This is called How I Measure Up. I have measured quality of life in teacups. I have measured my education with a ruler. I measured the moon with my thumb. I measure hurry and boredom with a clock. Human kindness I weigh in a thimble. Money I do not number but arrange by author like fiction. The time between sunrise and sunset I measure by how much I can jam in or leave out. Distance I measure in hours and days. We have a number for measuring the mind. When the sun is highest, that is not noon. All clocks bow to the satellite. Each day I consecrate to some obscure god or occult planet. Each year insert two popes between 6 and 7, except February, which has 28. Pick a new starting date and number backwards from there. I'm still using a calendar from 1491, as flat as the earth once was. I measure years in waiting, streets in stoplights. I draw straight lines on maps. I am so sure I am right.
That is an amazing poem. Funny, thought-provoking, and like so true. Yeah. Except in February where there are 28 popes.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Where do you find your poetry inspiration? Just all over? Or?
I write maybe 2 poems a year. I'd like to write
really?
More poetry. It's so fun to compose, to transpose things, and contrast things in new ways.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, I asked yesterday, would it be all right if I had a little of this port? And they said, sure, as long as there's some port left. And I said, well, port's always left because starboard's right.
Oh.
And I just appreciated having the opportunity to put those thoughts and words together in that way. Poetry kind of gives me a chance to put thoughts together in new ways that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, it's just like writing song lyrics, in my opinion. Song lyrics are poetry, pretty much.
I quite agree, especially listening to your lyrics.
Oh, you're so complimentary. Thank you, Dan, the true gentleman. Do you have one more you could do for us?
Oh, gladly.
That'd be
gladly.
Great. I like poetry. I am a fan.
I haven't got them pre-chose.
No, that's okay.
This one's called Dr. Everyday Scales Mount Complex Man.
Interesting.
I have come for relief from this pain. I can no longer stand. How long have you borne it? Were you born with it? Vaguely to me it seems there was a time before, and you did not come to me sooner because then I was less weak, and pain felt slight and muted, and seemed to subside if I did this or that or an aspirin. But pain did not stop there. As my days progressed, pain the shadow grew. What followed then? I became numb. I blamed myself, my habits, the things I did and did not do, and I postponed seeing you. And work and play and wallet got in the way. And now I fear there is no cure, but I am here. I may not do as you will say. But doctor, please give it a name, and I will pay. fill in this form and take this test. We will see how much you weigh, and I will do my best. Does it hurt when I do this? I can give you things we can't pronounce if we could read RX anyway. Our time is up. Please see the nurse. I will see you another day, and God will find a way.
Another gem. Thank you. That's so cool. Do you have, like, one more, or are you tired of poetry? Okay, good, because I like
poetry. I never tire of poetry.
Goody.
My older brother felt this was his favorite poem of mine.
Okay, and that's the one that wrote the song?
Yes.
Okay.
Larry Shaw.
Very good.
Had good things to say about this, which was inspired by a dream, and perhaps explains why it's maybe the best.
All right, great.
In his opinion.
Okay.
The Logic of Dreams, My Second Sunrise. Somewhere along a highway, among palm trees, I had pulled over for the night with a travel partner, familiar but unidentifiable. In the morning light, we saw a monument in a semi-classical style to brave boys on one side, and on the right, a dove attacked a battle. A visitor said, "I don't understand it." I said, "Yes, I would prefer it to be more inclusive." Wrapped only in a sheet, I took off my shoes as I spoke to a guide. "Since you are a teacher," she said, "perhaps you can explain what happened to the atoll." "The what?" "Atoll," she said, and pointed offshore. "It used to be rented to the Thors." I wondered if she meant Heyerdahl, the explorer. "And it had a waterfall." "Technically, it's called subsidence," I said, and going through one exit, I hobbled across gravel and found one shoe, then another, and went through another exit, with the feeling of having been here before. Awaking to my second sunrise, Maine's birds loudly and insistently chimed the hour.
Lovely. Thank you, Dan Shaw, poet among many other things. So let's talk about some of the other things that you do. You do a corporate communicator. What exactly is that? It's like being a business whisperer or something.
Well, for years I've been a writer,
editor,
and publisher. And once I had built my own website, then there was demand from other people to build their website, so I ended up building other people's websites, and then websites keep getting more and more complex, and the technology to build them keeps getting more and more complex. I got in before there was even an HTML text editor and was all excited when the first HTML text editor came out. But I've shy away from doing vortexes now because the degree of complexity. I thought it might be simpler to do video, and I had a friend suggest that we take the video producers class at the SOU. So I became a producer there at the television station at SOU, and have done some videos about vortex maps and videos for friends of mine, all manner of videos, some singing and music, some people's epiphanies, their spiritually enlightening moments. So I've done hundreds of videos, which you can see on YouTube. And so I have worked with any number of small businesses putting together print, web, and video for local authors and that kind of thing. So that's what I call corporate communication. It's a little tangled in that I'm an alchemist. I'm working with the paranormal in a lot of ways, and yet needing to pay the bills, of course.
Right.
And the Vortex Maps doesn't really pay the bills all that great, so I end up doing a lot of my day job is often doing video for people.
All right.
So if you need video about your your paranormal experiences, I think I'm an expert at that.
All right. Tell us, we'll mention it again at the end, but tell us your contact info right now, if you would.
Well, my websites include danshaw.com, which is more the corporate communication side, and vortexmaps.com, which has to do with these earth energies, ley lines, vortexes, that kind of thing.
Nice. And then you have YouTubes, and that's just your Dan Shaw channel. How would one get to that? Or
you could get to that through danshaw.com, and there are hundreds of videos, many of them of people in the Rogue Valley.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Okay, so just go to that website, and you can connect from there. Let's have a little, since you do so many things about paranormal experiences and about spirit things spiritual, I was thinking maybe a song about a chakras. Would you prefer MC Yogi or some Stephen Halpern?
I'm fond of MC Yogi. Let's hear
Let's
MC
have
Yogi.
Chakra beatbox. He
I love
is the
Steve
man.
Halpern, too.
I love them both.
Let's MC Yogi be fun.
Yeah, let's do that. We can always end maybe with Stephen Halpern. So here is MC Yogi. Chakra beatbox.
Open up your chakras and let the music in to harmonize your chakras.
Good idea. That was MC Yogi with Chakra Beatbox, right?
Yep.
That was it, yeah. I moved things around while it was playing, and then I lost it. But anyway, that's it. I'm Aletha Nowitzki. You're listening to Tasty Topics and Tantalizing Tunes here at KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon, and I am speaking with my friend Dan Shaw, a longtime Rogue Valley resident who travels in and out and studies vortexes and does all kinds of fun paranormal and inner. What's the opposite of para? You do all kinds of things. Paranormal and
normal and paranormal.
Normal and paranormal. That's it. So, excellent. So what is your take on the chakras and such and all this other stuff? Do you have anything particular you'd like to say about that or not so much?
In regards to earth energies.
Yes.
We, here in the Rogue Valley, we're just about an hour north of Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta is a profoundly interesting place to visit in terms of being a vortex and its electromagnetic fields. Wherever magma comes up and hardens into lava, it takes on the magnetic field of the planet at the time. So, for example, in eastern Oregon, where there's Steens Mountain, has a very long, continuous history of eruption. Scientists go out there to study the paleomagnetic field, the magnetic field as it was in the past. So by visiting these lava fields, whether it's Shasta or wherever else, we're exposing ourselves to what I consider to be an anomaly in the electromagnetic field. If you looked at a magnetic map, you'd see that lava has a particular signature. So in the Mount Shasta area, you've got all kinds of interesting features. You've got waterfalls, you've got Castle Crags, etc. So in a very small area, you can visit a lot of vortexes that have uniquely distinct energies, let's say, and you might arrange to visit a number of vortexes in sequence as a kind of a chakra activation or chakra initiation. It seems that different vortexes tend to resonate with a particular chakra. So we've got these energy centers in our body, and we could activate those by visiting different locations. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that chakras are relevant to the study of vortexes, I would say.
Interesting. So among all the things you do so many things, and I wonder how you have time to do them. I wondered if you might have any tips on how you manage your time, or if you just trust it's all going to fit in there, or what?
Probably the wrong person to ask that
question.
Oh, really?
Okay. Never mind.
Follow your inspiration.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. What's some of the most things that you're involved in right now, Dan?
Well, I've just come back from being a tour guide at the Montana Vortex, my second season there. That is a world-class spot. If you have a chance to visit any of the vortexes, there's vortexes everywhere, but then there's eight in the country that are open as tourist attractions. Take the time to visit these places. You will see things there and experience things there that you've never seen and experienced before. And I hope it's kind of the crack in the cosmic egg for some people, that a bit of an epiphany when people experience one of the profound demonstrations at the vortex is two people standing a couple feet apart on a perfectly level platform. As they change places, they appear to shrink and grow. They appear to change height as they change places. You'll see this at the Oregon Vortex, Santa Cruz Mystery Spot, etc. I've spent years now demonstrating this for hundreds of people. I have no idea exactly how it works, and we're just begging for some kind of scientific explanation. We've got lots of theories about how that works, but I'm fascinated by anything I don't completely understand. Here is something which is perfectly mysterious and yet perfectly accessible. Anybody can go there and see this for themselves and ponder what natural phenomena might explain this. We certainly don't have a complete understanding of the science of electricity and magnetism.
Interesting. Now, the Oregon one, is that this House of Mystery here in Gold Hill?
Right. You'd be perfectly forgiven for driving by, as I did for years, thinking it's just a crooked shack showing optical illusions. And they do have a crooked shack, and they are showing some optical illusions. But I promise you that anybody who visiting there would not be disappointed. You'll see things there that defy any kind of rational explanation.
Awesome. I just love that. I actually have been once, but it was years ago. You're making me want to go again. But I did definitely experience some, you know, seeing with my own eyes this phenomenon of people swapping places.
The world is definitely a magical place. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it's not.
That's right. So what do you find to be some of the most challenging things about being Dan Shaw and about doing all the things that you do, or a challenge that you are working with, and how do you
Well, life is a spiritual exercise, as I look at it. We're given all the challenges we can handle, I'd say. And it's my challenge in part to be, it's my honor to be a popularizer of these ideas. It's definitely challenging to be speaking to somebody who considers themselves a scientist, who thinks that science already has all the answers and they are satisfied with the models that science provides. Being a scientist in the truest sense involves being open to data that does not fit your model so that you can improve your model. So I am attempting to popularize these ideas which seem to defy the laws of physics as we know them. That can be very challenging. Some people are willing to accept uncritically. Some people are just ready to reject uncritically. But true science has to do with being critical, being willing to see things that we've never seen before. At the Montana Vortex, we're teaching people to see their auras. It turns out to be incredibly easy. There's a spot there we call the aura spot where we just have a 5-minute time where we show people about 3 or 4 different ways to see or feel the vortex, the chakra energy, aura energy, even the aura of the trees. And about 90% or more of people are able to either see or feel this aura energy that they've never felt before. And it's about the same with dowsing. If you've ever heard of water witching or dowsing,
I've heard of it.
Some people use a forked stick, some people use bent rods or a pendulum. And this is a skill that almost anybody can learn in just an afternoon. In fact, had a great experience once. I did teach a dowsing class. Vanessa was there. I hid a bunch of dollar bills around the room. And Vanessa was able to find one of these dollar bills. She'd never dowsed before. And given the opportunity, people are, I think, more often than not, able to tap into the aura energy and these subtle energies, whether it's through dowsing or with a device or without a device. We are built, I think, to have these perceptions, but we're generally just ignoring them in the world that we live in, full of electronic devices and all that electromagnetic pollution. So you there listening, find a way, pick up a book, you can learn to do energy healing. 90% of people, I think, have this capability.
Yeah, we have so many abilities, it seems to me, that are just, they're latent in us, or maybe they've been tamped down early on for one reason or another, you know. And part of it, I think, is survival in the world that doesn't believe in that, but it's coming out more and more.
Absolutely right. I saw a UFO myself when I was 14 or so, and took me 30 years to be willing to say that out loud and share that with anybody for fear that I would be called delusional or maybe medicated or institutionalized. And that's still a very real risk today. I talked to somebody just the other day who was seeing spirits, had been institutionalized, and they were very happy to talk to me, find out that they're not crazy.
So
if we lived in a different society, those visionaries would be honored instead of medicated and institutionalized. So it is a challenge when you're going against the status quo, but I encourage everyone to speak their truth, and I'll do my best as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. And that was one of the things, last thing I wanted to ask you was, did you have any last words of wisdom for our dear listeners? And it sounds like it's pretty much speak your truth.
Be courageous.
Be courageous.
Be magic.
Be magic. Thank you, Dan, for coming in. Give us your website one more time. Websites.
I invite you to go to Vortex Maps. VORTEXMAPS, vortexmaps.com, where I'm sharing as much information as I can about the sacred earth and how the earth is a living being, a divine entity, how we can tap into those energies for our own physical healing, psychic opening, and for harmonizing the planet. And I'd love to hear from everyone around the world. People are such experts on the geography, the sacred geography in their own area. I'd love to hear from you there.
All right. Good. Thank you, Dan Shaw, for coming in today.
DanShaw.com. Thank you so much, Aletha.
You're welcome. I'm Aletha Nowitzki. You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. And I got one more song for you in honor of Dan and his map-making ability and vortex maps. This is called Geographical Fugue, and this particular group is called Viva Vox. They're from Serbia. The beginning of it did not get recorded. This is a live performance by them, but it's so good that I wanted to share it with you anyway. But I'll just tell you that it is by Ernst Toch. It was written, he was a composer that was born in the 1800s, and he wrote this with it's pretty much a spoken thing. However, Viva Vox has added boombox or beatboxing to it. So it's a really nice fusion here. I performed this in my high school. That's how I got turned on to it. So it begins Trinidad and the Big Mississippi and the town Honolulu and the Lake Titicaca. So we'll come in right around that point. Here it comes.
The Lake Titicaca, the Popocatépetl, the Lizarin, the Radamé, Comé, Comé, Comé.